many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the day from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away. Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at buyer risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Barbara Jean Lindsay is an internationally acclaimed psychic, spiritual healer, author, and founder of the online mystery school Esoteric University. As the cosmic oracle, she is a conduit to the powers that be to answer your questions about your future self, past lives, current career, love. She shines light into the darkness to illuminate what was, what may be, and beyond. The readings and advice given by Barbara Jean Lindsay are for entertainment purposes only, should not take the place of any medical, legal, or financial advice given to you by a qualified professional, and are not a substitute for medical, legal, or financial advice. If you need a doctor, call a doctor. If you need to be expanded, call the Cosmic Oracle.
Hello and welcome everyone to the Cosmic Oracle Show. This is your host, Barbara Jean Lindsay. And we have with us tonight, we have my good friend Steve Colburn. He's here with us this evening. And I want to thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio. I've been gone like for 3 weeks. So it's so good to be back and doing the show. And it's my birthday. It's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. So we're celebrating it today. And it feels good to be back. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about my trip. We're going to be talking about UFOs and UAPs and ETs and maybe a little Sasquatch here and there, too. So stay tuned. I want to thank you for giving generously to Revolution Radio. We're an all-volunteer station. And what that means is no one gets paid. And we all do this for free. And so how we stay on the air is through your generous donations. So please go to revolution.radio, that's revolution.radio, and give whatever you can, $5, $10, maybe a Patreon, you know, and keep us on the air. This is our 9th year Cosmic Oracle Show. I thought it was the 8th year, and someone corrected me that it's my 9th year. So I can't believe it. It's been 9 years every Friday night. We started off as a Tuesday, and now we're on Friday nights. So, it's just been wonderful. Esoterra has supported the show recently now, so you can go to esoterra.com, and that's esoterra. It's esoterra.us, or you can go to my website, barbarajeanlindsay.com, and I'm doing readings. I have a special birthday package You can have three readings for, I think it's $5.95, something like that, for three readings. And it's my birthday package. And usually I charge $300 per hour. So you can get three for, I think it's $5.95. So you're welcome to come and check that out or talk to me about getting a reading. I've been a professional psychic for 30 years. I'm a master psychic, and I also teach psychic classes at my school. So, and let's hear about you, Steve.
Well, I'm a chemist and material scientist, and I've got a lot of experience, 25 years experience about. And my project lately has been to investigate the composition of alien implants and to investigate evidence left behind after alien abduction.
Yeah, that's pretty intense. I think when we went to Contact in the Desert, it was really popular. People really wanted to have an alien scan. And so we did do a few scans there at the event. What was that like for you to do that again?
It's always very, very interesting. I mean, we always come up with, not always, but often come up with people with probable implants and alien dyes left behind after abduction. There's UV fluorescent dyes that are indelible and stay behind on the body for several weeks that are often left behind during abduction. So that's a pretty good indication the person's been taken in the last several weeks.
Yeah.
And some of the pictures of these dyes fluorescing under UV light are pretty spectacular.
Yeah, I've seen some of them. I think I have some of me.
We found what looked like alien handprints on Barbara's wall.
Yeah, we did. That was, I mean, there's no going back once you see something like that. What color were those? Were those a blue or?
They were kind of orange, I think.
Or were they orange ones?
They were gold.
Because usually there's like a blue, a green, or orange.
Yeah, there's a blue-green that's from their skin. Yeah, and there's an orange and a bright blue, and there's two or three other colors that are more rare.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to say, hi, Sherry Ladd. Thank you. Everyone's checking in and wishing me happy birthday. So thanks, Sherry. It's good to see you. And Prissy, my good friend Priscilla, the one who saved my life from my near-death experience when you snuck into my hotel room and snuck in nachos. For me, and I wrote about that in my book about that experience. So, and I know, Prissy, when you met your husband, and he was all into this ET UFO stuff, and you weren't into it very much. So now I bet you are, because you're showing up on Friday night. So I think we'll have to get together and have some fun next time I come to Sacramento. So has Denny been any big changes in your field since, when did you really start seriously looking at?
Well, I've been into UFOs pretty much all my life, but I became a researcher in earnest back in 2008 when we were having some alien activity in our household, and the aliens put an implant in my left second toe. And I went to consult with Dr. Roger Lear, who worked only a few blocks away from where I worked in Camarillo, California at the time. And he took a look at it, and I don't think he believed me at first, but he gave me a prescription to get it x-rayed. And I got it x-rayed, and he put down to give a copy of the film to the patient. So he gave me the copy. I held it up to the light, and I knew I was going to see something. But when I did, that changed my life forever. It looked like a bent piece of wire in my toe under the x-ray. And like I tell people, there's a big difference between strong suspecting that something like this is going on and knowing for sure.
Yeah.
When you have evidence like that, you can't really deny it anymore.
Well, you can't go back, right?
No, it's not really back. It opens, like another person in the UFO community once said, it opens a door that can never be closed again.
Yeah, I agree. Well, and now, I mean, when you started this, what year was that, kind of?
2008.
And so now with the government coming out and saying that it's real and you're not crazy and maybe you weren't making this up, that maybe there's some validity to it, how does that, does it make you feel relieved, or how does that make you feel? Does it make you feel angry?
Well, it makes me feel vindicated. I think that... it's probably understandable if you keep it a secret, but I think there have been too adamant about it in the past, and now they're kind of lightening up, and they'll eventually disclose. They're just on a glacial pace to disclosure.
Well, do you see any contact coming sooner than later, like a real, like a ship landing or people walking out, or what do you think?
I think that maybe the aliens want to disclose, and I think that if they did not do this, the aliens would eventually do it for them, which I think their hand is going to be enforced.
So,
I think eventually there would be a ship landing on the White House lawn or whatever if the government absolutely refused to say anything about this. But right now, no, I don't think so. I think they're probably satisfied with the government disclosure efforts.
Right. And so do you think part of that is with the contracts from the 50s with the Eisenhower?
Yes, I think that report is true, that they have a treaty with the aliens to allow the aliens to abduct people in exchange for technology.
Do you think there's a list anywhere of abductees?
Oh, yeah, there's a list. The government ended up falling out with the aliens over the fact that they did not disclose the entire list to the government like they were supposed to under the treaty. They were abducting a lot more people than they were talking about.
Right. And so then our government was kind of, that was out of their control, right?
Oh, yeah, but the aliens never have been in their control. They're much too powerful for people at our level to stop. And that's part of the reason they're keeping it secret, is because it's A, embarrassing, and B, worrisome to a lot of people that these people can come and go as they please, in spite of the fact that we spend trillions of dollars a year on defense.
Okay, not sure what that was, so... Aha! Well, yeah, they're spending it on defense, and all along they've known that there's so much hidden... I mean, we could talk the whole time about hidden agendas with the government, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. They're wanting the alien technology. They want to make sure that nobody else gets hold of it. That's a big part of the
secrecy, too. Is it whoever has the best technology wins? It's kind of
That's usually the way it works. There's technology and there's numbers. I mean, I think technology usually accounts for more than numbers.
And that technology, is that also not only what... Why do you think they want to abduct us and test us and... check us out.
Well, they're gathering human DNA, they're cataloging human DNA and human blood and fluids are valuable to them for making artificial wombs to grow more hybrids and aliens. The aliens are produced by cloning and they are bred in artificial wombs. They're also abducting people to do force multiplication to get people that fit their criteria from bloodlines they're interested in, and they genetically modify the people in utero and then train them and use them as people to help with the abductions in the program.
Right. So they're kind of like, would you consider us at war with them, or how would you consider it?
The government's been at war with them for years. I mean, starting in 1952 after the aliens... flew a bunch of UFOs over the Capitol building in restricted airspace. Truman instructed the Air Force to shoot them down. And reportedly, they lost over 400 aircraft over the next 40 years into the 90s trying to shoot them down. And they shot down like three or four UFOs. I heard they finally rescinded that order in the early 90s.
From what I read, I don't remember where, but about that we do have, and I think it was disclosed to the public that our government does have alien bodies that they...
I think they have a lot of alien bodies in storage. They have... Bob Lazar, who I think is totally telling the truth, said they had 9 UFOs at Area S4, some of which I think were given to them freely, and judging by the bullet holes, he said... were in a couple of them were shot down, probably by good old-fashioned anti-aircraft fire. And so they, yeah, they have bodies and UFOs in flyable condition. They probably have many more in non-flyable condition.
Mm-hmm. So we've been kind of using like a reverse engineering to figure out how it works, how it all flies.
Yeah, I think it was nearly incomprehensible to them for a while, but I think they've started to get some success. And reportedly, they flew the first anti-gravity powered spacecraft based on alien technology back around 92.
Okay.
Around the same time they stopped shooting at them.
Okay. Well, I kind of read, too, that we might have had that technology way back in the 50s.
We had more, reports are that we had more primitive versions of it earlier on, but they had, I heard in one of the military magazines that they had an alien reproduction vehicle back in the 80s, but it had major control problems and it killed several pilots. But I think they perfected it in the early 90s and mm-hmm. worked to the point where they could use it operationally.
Mm-hmm. And so I've heard you talk before, too, about that when you're abducted at night and you just go up on the ship and you're a part of their team. And I love when the first time you told me this, it was shocking to me. But now, you know, I get more used to it, where there's like a switch in the back of your neck where they can actually change you. Or
oh, yeah, but I don't know if the switch changes you, but the switch is just it's an implant in the back of the neck that enables them to turn you off if you get out of control. Like if we allowed gorillas to run around loose, we'd probably want some sort of a safety switch like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what I was referring to is that they split your personality as part of the program that you're in when you're young, and you have two personalities. You have your regular Earth personality, and then you have another one that's similar but is more loyal to the aliens, and they mm-hmm. switch you over to that personality when you're with them. And that's the reason you don't remember, is because you do remember, but not on the same personality track. You have full recall when you're in the alien personality mode, but you cannot recall those memories under your normal personality. There's some leakage apparently through the subconscious and through dreams and such.
Mm-hmm.
And so you sometimes get memories of like single scenes from abductions and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe seeing a movie, something could trigger it.
Yes, that's possible too.
Mm-hmm. I know with me, I know I go somewhere at night. I have no memory of it. Just absolutely no memory of it. I would like to have memory of it. Is there anything that you know of that we could do to help us regain a memory of it? Or?
I've heard that you can take certain herbs like ginseng and cat's claw. Those help, but what's really helped me is that just to get regressed over it right away. When you know you've had an experience, when you find dyes, or you have a partial memory, or you just know really strong that you went somewhere that night, maybe you have bruises or something, get regressed right away while you still remember the date and everything. And when you do the regression, you ask the therapist to progress you on that date.
That's good.
Tell them all the specifics that mm-hmm. you do remember.
So it's good, like when you wake up in the morning, then to write all that down because you'll forget.
Right. That's right.
Absolutely. You think you're going to remember, and you just don't.
Yeah, write it all down, and you have to have dates and whatever evidence that you have to indicate that you were abducted on that date. To do a successful regression, in my experience. And mm-hmm. if you just try to go on a fishing expedition, it hardly ever works.
Yeah.
At least
yeah.
for me.
But. Well, I've been regressed by Barbara Lamb and then also with Mary Rodwell.
Right.
And one of them I could remember, and then the other one, I just couldn't get past it. Mm-hmm. It was too strong. It didn't work.
Why? Well, so, I have a problem where I'm just hard to hypnotize. I mean, even when I'm trying to cooperate, I often don't go under. So it's, I think a lot of us are like that. We're really, in general, pretty tough-minded.
Yeah.
That's why we were picked for the program in the first place.
Yeah.
Or one of the reasons.
Probably. Sherry Ladd's asked, Steve, have you ever tried to remove the implants? Is that something you want to do?
Dr. Lear removed the implant in my left second toe that was put there in 2008. I have reason to believe that I have at least four others, those I do not want removed, no. The one that was in my toe was causing pain, and I think it might have caused a medical problem eventually, so that's part of the reason I had it removed.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, Dr. Lear wanted to remove and study it, and the aliens didn't seem too sure whether they wanted to put it in the first place, but I remembered under regression, so I figured it wouldn't do any harm to remove it.
Right. Well, I know when I think it was on one of my implants that it actually was giving off a signal. That freaked me out. I had never heard of
that. They sometimes give off radio signals.
Mm-hmm.
Not maybe about 5 or 10% of the time. They're not always on.
Mm-hmm.
They also often don't show up on X-ray. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't.
Mm-hmm.
I think the aliens have a switch they can push somewhere that makes them disappear off X-ray.
Right.
I don't think the devices operate in that mode. Otherwise, they'd keep it that way all the time. But just because you don't see it on X-ray or it's not giving off a signal doesn't necessarily mean you don't have one.
Right. And it's been moved too from place to place as well.
Some move. I mean, most of them are stationary, but there's a few that actually move under the surface of the skin.
Yeah.
And those could be anywhere in the body.
They
usually stay within a circumscribed area, but not always.
Did you find, what's the normal area in the body where you can look for an implant?
I wouldn't rule out any area, but they're most common in the fingers, toes, hands, feet, wrists, and the extremities in general, arms and legs.
Mm-hmm.
They're less common in the torso, but I have seen a couple in the torso.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very common to have one in the back of the neck and mm-hmm. above each ear. And people that are in the actual alien program that are what I call class 2 abductees usually have a brain implant as well.
Mm. Yeah.
But the one that's put up the nose that was mentioned in Willie Strieber's book.
Right. Can you tell our listeners what is the class 1 and class 2? And this is something that you've developed yourself. Right?
This is in my book. Class 1 experiencers are people that are abducted maybe a few times in their life, and they're abducted mainly to collect samples, and they're not always from bloodlines the aliens are interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Class 2 experiencers are abducted very frequently and put through a medical program and a program of training from an early age, and usually genetically modified,
mm-hmm.
and they're from bloodlines the aliens are interested in, which usually consist of Germanic, Celtic, or Native American bloodlines.
Mm-hmm.
And there's usually a lot of military people and generals or royalty in their families.
Mm-hmm.
And they use people like us, that, like I say, as force multiplication to help them with their agenda.
Yeah. Well, and how many species do you think there are? Do you have any idea? I mean, it's such a vast... Does anyone really know?
I'm not that familiar with the other species, but I can tell you what I think I know. What I think I know about the grays that do most of the abduction. They're an alliance of, I believe, 7 similar species. Dr. Lear thought that the gray form was what all human type or humanoid aliens evolve into eventually after having technology for a very long time.
Huh.
And anyway, the grays are reportedly an alliance of. According to what I've heard and what I've heard other people say, they're an alliance of, I believe, 7 different similar species that come from within 100 light years of here.
Mm.
And 2 of their planets are Zeta Reticuli 4 and 61 Ursa Majoris 3. And their capital planet is somewhere in the direction of the constellation Orion, but the exact location is classified.
Mm.
They've been coming here for around 10,000 years, according to what they told the government.
Hmm.
And they also said that they've genetically modified the human race several times.
Wait, are they, does this have any correlation with the Anunnaki at all? Or?
I don't know. I think the Anunnaki kind of left long before 10,000 years ago, mm-hmm. and the Greys just kind of took over.
I see.
I'm not sure about the details on that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yes. Most likely the Anunnaki are the ones that actually created us from genetically modifying primates that were here before.
Right, right. So I know when I had that aha moment, like, oh, you mean I'm the alien that I'm looking for? You know, kind of like that, you know. And I know someone said you're supposed to call them, you're not supposed to call them aliens anymore. You're supposed to call them something else, but I don't
EBEs
remember.
EBEs.
EBEs, that's right. Something like that.
I'll continue to call them aliens. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Maybe space aliens is more precise. Or
right.
Extraterrestrials.
Right, right.
But EBEs, no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't like that term.
Well, Pinky Lee, thank you for your happy birthday wishes and everybody for wishing you happy birthday. I love that. Thank you so much. Well, it's fun to be here with you, Steve, and talk about my favorite subject, well, you know, for a long time now.
Fun to be here with you, too.
So, is there anything you want to talk about? Anything on your mind?
I wanted to talk about the fires in Maui a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't want to spend too much time on it, but
yeah.
There was a disturbing parallel between, I don't know the facts of the case and the Maui fires that well yet, but there's some disturbing parallels between, excuse me, what just happened there and what happened in Paradise, California a few years ago. Apparently the government burned Paradise, California to the ground with space-based energy weapons, most likely lasers.
Mm-hmm.
They had films of blue beams coming down out of the sky, and they claimed that the forest fire lit the town on fire, but aerial photographs indicated the trees hadn't been burned that much, but the town was just toast.
Mm-hmm.
In most house fires, there's a lot left. There's a lot of charred remains, carbonized remains, and in these fires, the houses were just burned completely to gray ash,
mm-hmm.
and the temperature was so high that there was molten aluminum running down the street from melted car hubs,
mm-hmm.
and that's just not normal. And they just looking at the individual houses, it totally looked like some sort of a high energy beam had hit it, and the areas not too far from the areas of destruction were often untouched or close to it, and it was just pretty obvious that it was not a normal fire and that energy weapons had most likely been used. A fire marshal from the area came on YouTube and said the same thing I'm saying.
Huh.
And they initially reported that over 2,000 people were missing, and they quickly backpedaled and said about 80 people were missing. I think the first report was accurate. I think those people were vaporized in their beds.
Mm-hmm.
The attack occurred early in the morning, probably to kill as many people as possible.
Mm-hmm.
The government is having kind of a war on conservatives and traditional people right now, and most of those people live there fit that description.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that the same thing didn't happen in Maui, but I fear that it probably did.
Mm-hmm.
This time, reportedly, the motivation might have been a land grab of Native American or Native Hawaiian lands.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard. I know I did see a beautiful young woman crying and on her YouTube channel and saying that what happened just, it wasn't natural, and that it happened so fast and so quick that she felt that it just had to be something other than a natural, what they were trying to say it was. And she said, please don't listen to what they're saying in the news, that it's from the hurricane and it's the air coming through, and they gave it's kind of like the weather balloon story from way back when.
That sounds like a cover story and not a very particularly good one at that.
Right, right.
The most disturbing thing about this to me is that apparently some unauthorized people have the access codes to these weapons of mass destruction that the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
government has in orbit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the normal chain of command would have authorized this. I think somebody else did that has the codes. That's a speculation on my part.
So could it have gotten hacked? Could have a hack, maybe? Or?
I doubt it. Uh-huh. Anything's possible, but I doubt it. I mean, hacking, that people paid off the right people to get the codes.
Get the code. Sherry asks, she says, I agree. I thought something was off about the Maui fires, too. Direct free energy technology used, perhaps?
Well, it could have been lasers, or it could have been Tesla type of death ray slash phaser weapons, or it could have been some sort of particle beam. I'm betting it was lasers, but I know the government's been messing around with Tesla weapons for years, too, so it could be either one of those.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Tesla weapons are a lot more destructive and use a lot less power than lasers.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear it's not all that hard to do, at least at microwave frequencies, but I don't know how far they've gotten on it.
Yeah.
I know they have lasers that are powerful enough to do that for sure.
Yeah, I mean, and then we can go segue into like the whole dark black space ops, right? The whole space program that, well, now we do have an official space program, though.
Yeah, now they finally just admitted that the Space Force exists. They've mm-hmm. had it since NASA was formed.
Mm-hmm.
When NASA was formed, they started saying that the Air Force was out of the manned space business, and that was just a cover story too.
Right.
They wanted to make NASA a dog and pony show to distract people and keep all the space scientists under one roof where their statements could be controlled.
Right.
And that's why they weren't too interested in having a follow on to the space shuttle, because they already had more advanced stuff flying.
Right.
The Space Force utilizes anti-gravity powered craft.
Already.
Yeah. Okay. I think the Chinese are going to get a big surprise with our Space Force capabilities if a war ever comes between the two governments.
Mm-hmm. Let's hope that doesn't happen.
I hope it doesn't happen too, but it's certainly moving in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't think our government wants a war. The Chinese are acting more aggressive than I've ever seen a major power act at this point.
Well, I was just in Thailand, so that's pretty close.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, you're saying the Thais are scared of the Chinese, right?
Well, that's what I heard. That was the talk while I was there. And now I'm going to segue into something else. Also, when I was there in Thailand, I thought just for fun I would just go online and see if there's any Sasquatch in Thailand. And there was happened to be a film producer. And he was going and taking a whole team from the USA and going to Thailand to look for the Bigfoot there. They call him Bigfoot, but there was a name for him, and I wrote it down. I'll try and get it on the break. But there in Thailand, they've had the Sasquatch found them in a part of the community from articles written in the 1600s and probably before that. But their Sasquatch there is 13 foot tall. And so I'm doing some research now, and they had a certain name for him, but I'm doing research now AKA the Bigfoot world map and looking at the different world maps. So maybe I was thinking after the break, we could pull it up and look at some of the Sasquatch names from all over the world. Steve and I are going to be talking at the Sasquatch family reunion, the Ohana, I'll put that in the comments too, the Ohana Sasquatch family reunion in, I think it's Cottonwood, California?
Don't recall.
In Northern California, September 8th through the 11th, and tickets are still available. It's a camp out. I love going to these events because if you didn't know anything about Sasquatch, it's a great place to learn and hear people's stories. You know me, I like to hear everybody's stories. So there'll be a lot of people telling and sharing their own stories. But I remember when I went last time, when you come for the reunion, it's not only the people coming for the reunion, but also the Sasquatch come from all over, and they have their reunion too. And so you can feel them. They're really apparent. You'll get knocks, you'll get howls, you'll get smell, you'll get all sorts of different ways. They might mind speak to you, but it's usually pretty active. And I talked with Star Hagen. She's putting it on. I talked with her Wednesday night, and she's really excited about it. And the just Sasquatch are the ones that helped her to create this festival. She had never done a festival before. It's her first one. And she just went to this beautiful site walking around, and a lady out of the blue comes up and says, oh, so you're here to book this for a weekend. You're going to have a conference here, right? And Star goes, I don't think so. And that's how it all started. And so now she has about, I think she said she has over 100 people signed up. And there'll be Kelly Rainbow Butterfly will be speaking, and her beautiful beloved Christian Shannon will be speaking as well. And there'll be lots of workshops and a lot of fun, and I think it will be great. So if you haven't looked at it, and you're free September 8th through the 11th, come on over to Northern California with the Sasquatch Ohana. Ohana Sasquatch Spiritual Retreat, I think it's called officially. So we'd love to see you there. And we're going to be doing something special there, right? It's our first time kind of doing it together, right?
Yeah,
we'll be speaking, and you want to talk a little bit about that? Or? What you're going to be talking about?
You go ahead.
Okay. Well, we're going to be doing, Steve's going to be giving scans, and then alien implant scans, and then with that, we're going to do a combination. Since I'm a master psychic, I'll do like a 15-minute psychic reading of the findings and what we're looking at, and if they have a question, we'll take a look at it. So I'm really excited. We're going to offer that to the community there for like $99. It's kind of our giveaway, but Steve will bring out all of his tools. Maybe he'll tell us about some of the tools he uses for scans.
Yeah, I have an ultraviolet light, shortwave ultraviolet light that shows up the alien dyes. I have a radio frequency detector, a Geiger counter, and a Bill Gauss meter that spots weak magnetic fields, and a stud finder, a small metal detector. Usually used to find nails and walls. It does a really good job of finding metallic objects under the skin or conductive objects under the skin. Mm-hmm. And if you find a stud finder hit combined with a magnetic field, it's most likely an implant. And then with that information, they can go get it x-rayed and see if there's anything there.
Right. And so we were looking for a surgeon or... What kind of surgeon would you need? A cosmetic surgeon?
A general surgeon.
A general surgeon.
Most effective.
That you could refer the people to once you do find a scan, and you'd want to work with that doctor.
Right.
That would just be fantastic.
Yeah.
And you also, when you had yours taken out, it was also filmed, right? So.
Oh, yeah. I've got a clip of the film.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. But you were also on, like, patient...
I was patient 15 in Dr. Lear's program. We actually did a movie about, Jeremy Corbell anyway, did a movie about patient 17.
Mm-hmm.
My implant was more or less typical. It was a metallic meteoric iron core with carbon nanotube electronics in it, and surrounded by a surface coating of an organic silica layer that was like bone or hard tissue of an organism. Then around that was a very tough electrically conductive membrane, and it had proprioceptor nerves growing into it. That's pretty typical. It was a stationary implant. And patient 16 had a different one that had, instead of the tough gray membrane, it had a layer of epithelial cells around it. And it was very, very tough metal, and had the highest concentration of carbon nanotubes. It was some kind of iron carbon nanotube metal matrix composite, and harder than anything that we can make. And Dr. Lear actually had to cut with a laser. I tried to cut it with just regular tools and didn't even scratch it. And he took it to a machine shop, and Diamond Tools wouldn't cut it.
Wow.
I wasn't there, but he said it scared the heck out of the shop manager.
Wow.
And that's, Diamond Tools will cut any metal.
Right.
Normal metal anyway. And this struck me as something you could make deep diving submarine hulls out of or something. And he finally cut it with successfully with a high energy laser, and he wanted to cut it in half to see the interior.
Right. And you did that?
Yeah, we did that.
Oh my God! So you guys made history.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah. I mean, we know more about alien implants than anybody outside the government labs, I'd say.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. So we have a Lori Nulick. Hi, cousin. She says, looking pretty on your birthday. Anna Marie says, happy birthday, Barbara. Thank you, Anne. Thank you, Lori. And Sherry Lapso says, so interesting. So we're like moving right along here. We're just, you know. So it's my birthday. We're having fun. We're kind of, we're moving right along. And so implants or no implants, you know. So from implants to Sasquatch, you know, acupressure show that has it all, right?
I just wanted to mention, too, they say you can smell a Sasquatch coming 50 yards away.
It's true. No, that's how they come to me. I know they're in the room or in the house with this beautiful, I like the smell, though. It's kind of skunky, mossy, earthy, like, you know, like if you're walking through a forest and all the pine needles are on the floor of the, underneath the trees, it smells, and if you shake that up a little bit, that's what it smells like a little bit to me. But, you know, I was talking with Star on our, I teach a class on Wednesdays, an 8-week class on how to tune into your psychic ability and how to, you know, figure out who you are, why you're here, and that sort of thing. It's an 8-week class, and in that, she was talking about, we were talking about Sasquatch, of course, because she's doing the class, and I just totally forgot what I was going to say. Darn, that's funny. What was it?
She said something about Star and Sasquatch.
Star and Sasquatch. Oh, my gosh. I forgot what it was.
Well, you'll remember later.
Oh, I do remember now. Okay. That her Sasquatch likes also likes to come in and hang out in her car. And so do mine. And that's where my first, you'd think you would meet them out in the woods, right? Because that makes sense, because they're the protectors of the forest, the guardians of the forest, right? And then and with me, it's like the first time I met mine, I'm driving down my car, minding my own business, and a Sasquatch comes through the roof of my car. And I can see him just as clear as I can see you, Steve, just as clear as can be. I can't touch him, though. But I can see him just like I can see you. And he's huge. He's humongous. I don't know how he could fit all in that seat, right? And big, hairy, and the beautiful smile. And the smell was so intense. And then he gives you what they call a love bomb. And you just feel all this love around you. And I just start crying like a baby. And I have my little dog in the car. Mary Margaret's with me. And I'm just crying like a baby. And then it says, he says to me in mind speak, which is, I know my own voice in my head telling me to do something or not doing something. But when the Sasquatch tell you, it's a different voice. And for me, it was a male voice. And what it says, turn on the radio now. And so I have a 2002 Prius and I have a tape deck, right? That I love this car, though. Has a lot of personality, okay? And so I turn on the AM/FM radio, and the song that comes on is George Michael, and I Am Your Father Figure. And so that's what he's telling me, like, he's maybe my father figure, that I could use a father figure. And so we started laughing, and he started laughing. And so when I was talking to Star, and that was in, like, 2019 that happened, right before the conference. And so, or 2018, I get my time periods mixed up a little bit. But so Star was saying they come to her, too, because she's a trucker, and they come and sit in her cabin, talk with her, how's it going, how's the conference going, you know, that kind of thing. And she has actually a conversation with them. And people would think you're crazy. People can think I'm crazy. I'm okay. I'm used to that now. I broke free in 2016 when I wrote my book, and I've been telling my story about my NDE and my visitation with extraterrestrials you know, since 1989 publicly. And so that's when it wasn't popular at all. And my whole family thought I was a little bit touched, right? Lori Nulick, you know what I'm talking about. But now it seems like with the government saying it's okay that they do exist, that I'm not crazy and I'm vindicated for, I don't, not that I need it or it, but it's nice to have it too. So I can't blame it on the ETs anymore. I got to blame it on something else, I think. So, so you don't know when they're going to come or how they're going to come or how they're going to communicate with you. But if you're open-minded and your heart's in a good place, they could come. Do you have a question on that?
I don't have much experience with Sasquatch.
No, you don't. But you have an open mind, right?
Yes, I definitely have an open mind. Mm-hmm. I try not to have it so open my brain falls out, but I definitely have a much more open mind than most scientists.
Well, it's an interesting world we live in. I love that it's opening up more, that people can get through that fear, that initial fear that we have to control everything, and you have to see it with your hand or it's not real, right? There's so many things. I tell people, close your eyes. That's when you're really going to see the world, our world, right? And there's so many things that, you know, like if a loved one has passed away and you miss them, you don't have to close your eyes. It's easier when you close your eyes because it stops a lot of information coming through that you don't need. So you can close your eyes and that loved one can come and be with you if you call them, not in a physical form anymore, but they never really leave you. They're right there. You can access them and be with them. And so you're never alone, unless you want to be, I guess. So we're getting close. We have about 47. We have 10 more minutes until our break. So yep. We're going to take a break from 5:57 to 6:04. And we'll be back. And I don't know what we're going to be talking about. We're just kind of hanging out. And so if you have any questions about life or...
Yeah, let's take some questions for
yes,
a while.
Yes, Steve will take questions. And it's my birthday. I'm 71 today. I'm really excited. I've had a really good life. Not your normal life at all, that's for sure. When I was a kid, they would say, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, well, I want to be an astronaut and I want to have 12 children. And so we were talking about that, right? So you could... Because you think I am an astronaut in a way.
Well, we're all astronauts. Everybody that's a Class 2 experiencer, we're all astronauts. I mean, we've been trained to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sounds kind of hard to believe, but I mean, I wouldn't even entertain a lot of this stuff unless I had evidence. But that's what I believe, that we're all astronauts and we've all been in space many times.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I remember anyway, right. Through regression.
And maybe we were acclimated, too. I mean, because I'm from the 50s. I'm a 50s kid. And so I was raised on Star Trek, even though I didn't watch them all.
Well, there were most of these alien shows that they've been putting on forever now are to condition the public for when they eventually disclose.
Right, right. And like George Jetson, the Jetsons, you know.
Yeah.
And then Lost in Space.
Yeah.
There were a lot of those.
Shows, yeah.
All of those shows. Oh, what's the one? My favorite Martian. You know?
That yeah.
And then Nanu Nanu with Mork.
Mork and Mindy.
Mork, yeah, Mork from Ork. What is it?
Mork
and Mindy. That's right. Mm-hmm. So we have been kind of been acclimated slowly to this, but our kids now are, the grandkids are wide open. They're in fact, they want to learn this. They want to know about it. And they're going to move much quicker than we ever thought possible. And they Probably. Will be going to Mars. They will be going.
Well, I think they're going to Mars is a done deal now with
yeah.
SpaceX.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we're certain. I mean, they have a contract to send people to the moon. So that's definitely going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Mars soon after.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the space program. At least the manned space program is back on track, and we're very, very happy to see that.
Yeah. So they're going to need trained scientists and train people to go out and I want to go to Mars. I think that would be really fun.
I was wondering if the society were really even into science and space anymore for a while there.
Yeah. I'm not sure. And it could be, it doesn't have to, it can be like where you're a hydro, you know, where you raise plants and maybe that's part of your job on a ship. So there's all sorts of jobs on the ship. It doesn't have to be science.
Yeah, they'll have to have a person running the hydroponic garden.
Mm-hmm.
And shoot, they had to use hydroponic gardens a lot more on Earth. I mean, you can grow all kinds of plants underground with hydroponics and not have to worry about pests and pesticides and probably be a lot more nutritious. And you could use artificial light or skylights.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking they would need a psychic on board for sure.
Makes sense.
But was it Whoopi Goldberg a psychic?
No. Kind of. But the official psychic on Star Trek The Next Generation was Troy. Constance or Troy.
Okay. I remember I got asked or somehow got on a list to go to Mars, and we've talked about that. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, it's a one-way ticket, though. You don't come back. So if you go to Mars, you're not coming back. And so I said, well, then I couldn't go on the mission because I have grandchildren, and I'm going to play an important role in their lives, and so I wouldn't be able to go. But I would like to go to Mars if I could come back, if it was maybe like a 1 year, 2 year, 3 year mission.
Yeah, I wouldn't go unless there were a return trip after a year or two. I wouldn't want to come home right away, but I don't think I'd want to stay longer than 2 years either.
So what about our listeners out there? Would you want to go to Mars? And if you did, you know, what would you want to look for? I don't know. What would you want to see in Mars? You'd probably want to study all the soil samples and...
I'd want to study the plant life and whatever other life they have there. They've already found life on Mars. They just haven't formally announced it yet. Go through all the rover photographs. You'll find all kinds of weird stuff. There's fossils. There's lichens on the rocks. There's higher plants from the orbital photographs, including large trees near the South Pole of Mars. They're probably going to be one of the biggest tourist attractions in the solar system someday. We're like half a kilometer across. They look like huge banyan trees. Mm-hmm. And I would want to study the Martian fossils. And there's all kinds of fossils. In Gusev Crater, particularly where Spirit Rover landed, there's all kinds of fossils. Huh. In fact, that's part of the reason they chose that particular landing site is the possibility of finding fossils. Then when they started finding them, they tried to you know, downplay it. Strange.
Yeah, and I wonder what kind of species or other...
What blew me away is that the life forms that they found fossils of look very much like the same ones on Earth.
Oh, I didn't
know
that.
They found, like, sand dollars and fossil crinoids and shrimps and typical sea life.
Okay, Sherry Ladd says, I don't think I'm that adventurous. Don't want to leave my kids and grandkids, but would love to hear all about it on a trip to Mars. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, unless we could make the time to get there much quicker, if we went through a portal, a time warp.
I think the travel time with the SpaceX Starship is going to be about 4 months. That's doable.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
9 months, like they were originally talking about, that's really pushing it, if you ask me. But I can do 4 months.
Yeah. Well, hey, I did 13 hours on an airplane. That's enough. Man.
Well, I'm sure on the spacecraft it'd be more comfortable. It would be really good if they would they experimented with this on Gemini 12. You tether together two identical spacecraft and then spin them. Tumbling end over end, and that gives you some gravity.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so then you're not weightless the whole way, so you're not going to be totally out of shape by the time you get to Mars.
Yeah.
Weightlessness is terrible for you.
Well, that's what I heard. Yeah. And that's why they didn't want you to see the astronauts when they were coming out, right?
Yeah, they're a wreck. I mean, I wouldn't stay under weightlessness for longer than a month or two.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
a few days won't hurt you, but after that, you start to deteriorate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, this has been fun.
Yeah.
We're coming up to our 1 hour break.
It's fun.
So thanks for tuning in, everybody, tonight. Thanks for all the birthday wishes. We're going to have a break from 5:57 to 6:04 for our Revolution Radio break. And so during that time, grab a drink of water, come back, and if you have any questions for Steve, and we're just having some fun for my 71st birthday. I'll talk a little, and I thought I might do a little bit of slideshow from Thailand. I don't know. That could be fun.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're kind of just having fun and having a party and celebrating my birthday. I never thought I would be here that long, 71. You know, I died in 1989 and came back. It was a miracle. And so I always think each day is such a gift because I'm just so thankful to see my children grow up and I get to be part of my grandchildren's lives. And that's a big deal for me. I've done a lot of work. I've traveled a lot. Around the world, but I just I love being a mom still. So that astronaut and wanting to have 12 children, I'm still kind of like that a little bit. I think I came in that way.
They're kind of team mutually exclusive goals, though. I mean, if you have 12 children, you're not going to want to go.
I know.
Somewhere for a long period.
I know. So you have to take them with me.
Yeah, right.
Right, or pop off and down. Hey, but we learned even with our COVID that, I mean, I did classes. Everyone learned how to go online and learned how to talk online and learned how to see each other online and gather. And so, I mean, it's pretty good sometimes, you know. Oh, it's time. Okay. So we're going to, it'll start to break here in a second. Don't go anywhere, you guys. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks, Sherry. Thanks, Anne Marie, and let me see, and Lori Nulikas. Lori, give your mom a hug for me, Auntie Mildred, Sherry Ladd, Pinky, love you, Pinky, and Priscilla, Prissy, and your beautiful husband, and thanks to everybody, and Cindy Louise Schaefer, thank you, love your sister, and... We'll be right back after this.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern. On Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Transmission. Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly. You are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome back. I got a little bit of a make sure that's pronounced. Hold on. Wow. Don't know what that's from. Okay. Looks good now. Welcome back, everyone, to the Cosmic Oracle Show. This is your host, Barbara Jean Lindsay, and I have with us Steve Colburn today, is our lovely guest, and we've been talking about UAPs, ETs, UFOs, Sasquatch, astronauts, Mars, implants. I mean, we've been having a blast. This is like the perfect thing to do on a birthday, right? I'm 71 today. It's my birthday. I've had so many wonderful people call and wish me happy birthday. And so I'm just a really lucky person to have all this love come to me today on my birthday. And I'm still here. You know, they haven't gotten rid of me yet. I was talking with Steve earlier. It's like some of the things I've been through, my life experiences so far, it would have probably killed most people. Right? We talked about that for sure.
But we're tough.
We are tough.
Us hybrids are tough.
Yeah. So when you say hybrids, can you describe for our listeners, what is a hybrid?
Well, I have reason to believe that, and I think we'll have proof of this soon, that the aliens genetically modify class 2 experiencers in utero, and so we probably have some alien DNA, and the term hybrid applied loosely is anybody that has been genetically modified, genetically enhanced by the aliens, I prefer to call class two experiencers genetically modified humans. And there's also the more classic hybrids that some of the books refer to that are raised aboard ship that probably have a lot more alien DNA. Mm-hmm. And those people are meant to be grays that look human, but I think that basically all they've succeeded in doing is making humans with some of the gray abilities, so they had to put so much human DNA in them to make them look human.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think, like, with the grays, are some, I've heard, they think they're just a robot, but do you think they have consciousness then?
They're not very into robots. I mean, they're mm-hmm. they're into genetic engineering and biological units of various kinds, but I think some of the grays are like a caste society, and there's workers and an intermediate type that I call the scientist engineer guys, and then there's a leadership caste. They're like praying mantises, and the workers are real short and don't have a lot of individuality. I'm not sure if they're total robots, but they don't have a lot of personality.
Mm-hmm.
They're not robots in the classic sense. They're not androids or mechanical beings. They're mm-hmm. biological.
Well, and I know with me, my mom wasn't supposed to have me, so I'm like a surprise. And so that kind of tells me that maybe something wasn't quite right, that maybe, you know, I was put in inter utero for her. I can't prove that. Have they done any testing on that? That you know of, or
nobody's done any testing on that I'm aware of, but because you'd have to sequence the person's entire genome to try to find out what the aliens might have done.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we don't know what an alien gene looks like yet. So, all we could probably say at this point is we, you know, sequence the entire genome of somebody we suspect might be modified, and mm-hmm. Then try to pinpoint some unusual-looking DNA sequences. We can do that soon because full genomic sequencing used to be prohibitively expensive until mm-hmm. recently, but now it's not. So get it for less than $1,000 now.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how much is that? Oh, I want to get that done.
Yeah, we're going to get that done soon. I've had a lot of budgetary constraints, otherwise I would have done it already. But
yeah.
We're going to get that done in the next few years for sure.
I think that would be fantastic. Well, so if someone wants to donate $1,000 to find out if they have if their genome is part alien?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
So if anyone's listening, anything else you want? I know you want a lab, too. So how can people contact you about their alien implants?
Well, the easiest way is just call me. My phone number is 805-625-2549. Again, that's 805-625-2549.
Oops, I'm writing it here.
805-625-2549.
Right. Okay, and then you can call Steve mm-hmm. and talk about it.
Right.
Just you can talk about it. It doesn't cost anything to talk to you about it.
Leave a message if I don't pick up, and I will get back to you.
Yeah, usually you have to leave a message. That's right. Because you don't know if you're going to get a spam call or not, right?
That's exactly right.
So call Steve Colburn. And what's the name of your business, too, Steve?
I have a company called Neutron Star Nanotechnology.
Mm-hmm. That sounds cool. So
yeah.
What does that do? What do you do there?
Well, I analyze alien implants and UFO crash debris and any unusual samples. I have some microscopes I can examine things with, and I can send things out for more sophisticated testing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm eventually planning on making nanomaterials.
Mm-hmm. And again, what's the name of your company?
Neutron Star Nanotechnology.
Okay, and I'm going to get the website and put it up here. Neutron Star
Nanotech.com.
Nanotech.com. Ooh, shall we show them that on one of...
Sure.
Okay, I think we might share that. So, there. I think we're going to go ahead and share it here for our people. Share.
That was more of a mainstream website. I don't think I mentioned the alien analysis there, but
okay.
I definitely did do
so,
that.
So we're seeing your website now, Neutron Star Nanotechnology. What's NSN?
It's the...
Oh, Neutron Star.
Shortened version of it.
Okay. All right. So it's carbon nanotech for the 21st century. So what are we seeing here? What is that?
Those are schematic representations of carbon nanotubes. A carbon nanotube is basically a piece of graphite sheeting, which is carbon atoms arranged in a hexagonal pattern, like a chicken wire type pattern. And it's a sheet of that rolled up into a tube. And the angle at which it's rolled up determines the electrical properties of it. They can be semiconducting or metallic. And the metallic ones have a very low electrical resistance, almost like a superconductor.
Mm-hmm.
And the semiconducting ones act like semiconductors, so you can make transistors and diodes with them that are much smaller and more robust than the silicon ones we use today. And it's also, CNTs, carbon nanotubes, are also the world's strongest known material. A CNT with no sidewall defects is hundreds of times stronger than super alloy steel, and much lighter as well.
So what are some normal uses? What do you use it for?
Well, they're still trying to find uses, but the... they're potentially useful as nanoelectronics and as strengthening agents for other materials, especially metals, metals and plastics. For electrodes, for like carbon nanotube paper can be very robust electrode material. They're also very resistant to chemicals and oxidation.
How about I'm thinking like a protective suit?
Yeah, you can make body armor with them. Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking, body armor.
I think they're experimenting with that right now.
Yeah, because it looks pretty flexible, too.
Yeah,
too.
They are pretty flexible, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've made carbon nanotube paper before. That's pretty flexible stuff.
I'd like to see some of that.
Yeah, I think it's pretty strong, but I think it could be made a lot stronger with some... processes that I thought of.
Is it light at the same time as it's strong?
Yeah, so it's got a very high strength to weight ratio.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing. It looks like chicken wire.
Right. I mean, it's got a chicken wire type structure.
Mm-hmm.
And there's delocalized pi electrons all around there, so that's where the conductivity comes in.
Okay.
The electrons can flow from one atom to the other.
I see. So is it charged so it can take a charge too then, if it's a charge? Or?
Yeah, it can take a charge, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it wasn't touching anything, you probably charged it several million volts over time.
Wow. It's fascinating. Yeah. And you would go to products and services. So what's this picture here? It looks like a bunch of spaghetti.
Yeah, that's carbon nanotube says they're manufactured.
Mm-hmm.
They're purified. And when you first manufacture carbon tubes, you manufacture... fullerenes, which are like cages of carbon atoms, like a soccer ball type pattern.
Mm-hmm.
C60 particularly, you manufacture that and amorphous carbon at the same time. Mm-hmm. Those have to be removed. There's a solvent step to remove the fullerenes because they're soluble in a lot of solvents. And then there's an oxidative step to remove the amorphous carbon. And purification destroys a lot of the carbon nanotubes in a lot of processes, and I've actually got a purification method that is non-destructive of the tubes, and I'd like to put that into production at some point soon.
Yeah, well, that sounds amazing. Well, they can contact you. They can send you an email. What's your email?
My email address is at the company is steve@neutronstarnanotech.com.
Okay, so Steve at NeutronStarNanotechnology.com. All right, well, thank you for that. I think we're going to switch over. I have something else I want to share, too. If this is being shared, I think it is. That's not the one I wanted. Oh, Bigfoot in Thailand. We're going to switch to Bigfoot now.
Okay.
And I don't have his permission to show this, but this is the part I thought was interesting. The first recorded reports of Bigfoot in Thailand date back to the 16th century, when residents in the remote jungles spoke of the live hairy men as tall as 3 meters. So that's like 13 feet, right? 3 meters?
3 meters is about 10 feet.
10 feet. Since the 1920s, thousands of sightings have been logged, and a dozen scientific expeditions have been carried out since the mid-1970s. In 2005, a group of journalists traveled to many parts of Taiwan and Southeast Asia to search for 10-foot-tall giant man apes. All of the activity produced no tangible evidence. So I haven't heard back from renowned Bigfoot researcher C. Thomas Biscardi, but I'll keep you in line of what happened with him and his journey. So I'm hoping I could get him on the show as a...
Well, I know you know this, but part of the reason that they're so elusive is because they're telepathic and they can tell people are after them.
Exactly.
A long time before they ever see them.
Right. If these guys, if you carry guns, because you have to remember you're a guest in their territory, right? And so they want to keep their young. They have young children, Sasquatch and juvenile Sasquatch, and so they want to protect their family. I would think that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
At least that's what I've heard. So, and then I wanted, and so what I'm working on is a research on Bigfoot, the world map. And so it's really cool. I'll give you guys the link if I can. Oh, it's that's not what I wanted. Let me go back here. Shoot, maybe I lost it. Shoot. It's AKA Bigfoot Map. Let me look in my bookmarks down here. Let me see if I can find it really quick. AKA Bigfoot World Map. So, it will tell you some of the Sasquatch and their names from all over the world. From all over the world. So, I just thought it was fascinating that they could have different names for different species. I don't know about the species and all that. There's so much, right?
That hasn't been too well worked out, I don't think.
No, I don't think it has. So let me see where I am.
I've heard there's like 12 different species. I think it may be more than that.
Wow. I didn't lose anybody here. I probably didn't lose this. Let me go back. So we are live. I just can't get to my comments page. Let me see if I can move it here. Give me a second here. I'm almost back. No, it's none of that. Well, what happened here? Okay, so I just have a slide, but I lost our comment page. So I'm going to have to go to Facebook and find that again really quick. But maybe I won't, because I just can't. So,
what are you trying to find now?
The Facebook page, we can get back to the comments from everybody.
Oh.
So, I'm going to have to see if I can find that. I lost it somehow.
Oh.
So let me go back and find it. So, hang in there, everybody. So, we went from Bigfoot, I mean, we're all over the place tonight, because it's my birthday and we can do this, right?
One thing I've noticed is that experiencers often have more computer problems than most people.
You know, I've heard that.
I've heard that.
That's true.
I seem to have about 5 times more software problems than the average person.
Oh, yeah. Sherry Ladd's put it up, a.k.a. Bigfoot World Map. There it is. Thanks, Sherry. So that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, yeah, I think you're right. I think we do. I mean, I can't wear a watch, or I haven't been able to, but I'm thinking now that I know more about how to run my energy is, what my vibration is, and how to ground and how to bring my auric field and how to do all of that work, that maybe I could wear a watch. I don't know. It's been a long, at least probably, 20 years since I wore a watch.
You could try it.
I could try it, huh? Mm-hmm. But I know as a kid and growing up, I couldn't wear one. And that's not too uncommon, right?
No, that's actually a question on the alien abduction questionnaire to determine whether you're an experiencer or not. And a lot of experiencers give off weird energies that interfere with watches. And I don't interfere with watches too bad, but now I interfere with streetlights. Streetlights go on and off when I go near. And I seem to interfere with computers and software quite a bit, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mine is toasters.
Toasters, wow.
You can ask my family. I burn toast all the time, so I don't know what that is. Maybe someone could psychically look at that and let me know. But it's definitely toasters. But I have had this toaster the longest I've ever had a toaster. So usually the toasters, I'll just hit them and they just blow up or fall apart or just burn everything. So, and I have had that too, where if I, at my last, not this last year, but one of my birthday parties, someone handed me a plate of food and I picked the plate up and I was holding it kind of flat, like in my hand as I'm talking to someone, and the whole plate just exploded. It just exploded. It just went all over the place. It was wild. And I do have that happen. Like with glasses exploding, usually glass where I break glasses a lot. So, Steve, what is that?
It'd be a disaster in the lab.
From a scientific point of view.
I don't know. I mean, we give off some kind of strange energy, but I'm not sure what its properties are. It seems to obviously create electric fields because it interferes with electric electronic devices. As far as breaking glasses, it would have to also perhaps give off gravity waves or gravitational energy to cause stress in objects.
Yeah, not sure. Or it's like, where we have a lot of power, we have a lot of energy. We are energy, right? We are electrical, so there's a lot of...
Yeah, I mean, they're matter, just a very very concentrated form of energy. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're all one and the same. Einstein proved that.
What did he prove?
That matter and energy are basically the same thing. That matter is a very concentrated form of energy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But if you put, like, focus to it or thought or intention to it, that would seem like that would empower it or power it up, right, a little bit?
Well, I mean, we have no data that's outside classified circles about that one way or the other. I mean, I believe that's probably true, but I mean, we need to have more studies done on that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, I know once I told the story before a long time ago. I was barefoot, and I never went barefoot that often. I always go barefoot in my house, but not when I go out in the public. And it was a really hot day in Sacramento, and I got out of my car and barefoot and stepped onto a cigarette that someone had thrown out, and it was still lit. So it burnt, made a big blister on my foot. And so I just stopped for a minute, and I swear, and I took my fingers in like this, in a mudra, and put it onto my foot and just stay there for like, I'd say about 5 minutes, and just put all this energy into healing it, into having the burn go away. And I was concentrated. I just kind of scooped all my energy and was not cognizant of really where I was. I just wanted to heal it, mainly because I didn't have time to deal with it. I had 3 kids. I was a single mom. I had a lot to do, and I didn't have time for a burnt foot. And so I took my fingers and I kept it on there, and I healed it. It totally went away. Now, that was then. Now I have this scratch here that's still here, but We have power to heal. We really, really, really do. And we have that concentrated energy to heal it. I think we can. I really think we can. So what are your thoughts on that? What do you think about that?
Well, based on anecdotal reports like yours and many others, I think it's probably true. We just need to have some output on a scientific basis at some point. Testing and seeing what this energy is and find ways to detect it directly, find instrumentation to detect it, and see what it actually can do under controlled conditions.
I think at that time I was studying, I was taking a healing class, so I was really into it, too. And I think that made a difference somehow.
It could be a form of energy called scalar waves that some people have talked about. Dr. Tom Bearden in particular seemed to know a lot about that from the classified literature. Scalar waves, to give an explanation, are a more fundamental form of electromagnetic radiation, and they're kind of like gravity waves. They're an EM wave, but instead of the E and the B fields being perpendicular, and then the wave travels perpendicular to both of them, like the E and the B fields are like this, and the wave is traveling like this, the E field emanates from a point, and then the B field is 90 degrees out of phase, and circulates in a clockwise or counterclockwise direction. And it's a more fundamental form of EM. I think that transverse EM that they talked about in the textbooks, that was the first type I mentioned, forms from interference of scalar waves at some distance from the antenna. And I think a lot of this biological energy that the space-time continuum is filled with energy, and a lot of it is scalar in nature, I believe, and a lot of this biological energy that organisms give off is probably long waves, scalar waves. That's my working hypothesis at this point, but there's a lot of work to be done.
What is a scalar wave? I'm just a baby here.
Like I said, it's a more fundamental form of electromagnetic radiation that is given off by antennas and things that radiate EM. And the standard EM is formed from the interference of the scalar wave some distance from the antenna. That's why in the physics textbooks, if you look in like Resnick and Halliday or any of those ones they use in undergraduate, towards the end in the EM chapter, they talk about the near field pattern of an antenna. And that's the area where the scalar waves are interfering to produce the transverse waves. With a lot of antennas, there is no detectable transverse field within a certain distance of the antenna. And I wondered, A, how could that be if transverse waves are the only kind there are at EM? And B, in an antenna, the E and the B fields are separated by 90 degrees. When you have electrons going through a vertical antenna, when you have the electric field fully in the antenna, then you have a charged rod. And then 90 degrees further down the cycle, the charges are flowing and you have maximum current. But you don't have maximum current and maximum charge at the same time like you would have to if the antenna were producing transverse waves directly. So I've concluded that the scalar wave is probably a more fundamental form that was given off first.
Yeah, it sounds much more powerful.
I think it is, and they can have biological effects. If people are interested, I encourage them to read Dr. Tom Bearden's books.
Okay, let me write that in here.
Dr. Thomas Bearden.
T-H-O-M-A-S And how do you spell that?
B-E-A-R-D-E-N.
B-E-A-R-D-E-N?
D-E-N.
Oh, D-E-N. Your name. Books. Okay.
I think they're still in print.
Okay. Ooh, maybe Sherry can find those for us. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put you to work, Sherry Labs, because you found the AKA Bigfoot World Map. Maybe you can find, maybe on Amazon, Dr. Thomas Bearden Books.
Yeah, it should come up.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool. Well, there's so much to learn. And are you excited about maybe new technologies coming out that they've had on the shelf they're going to let us play with now?
Oh, yeah. I think they've known about this stuff for a long time. I'm pretty sure that they've had a unified field theory in physics for a long time, and the Tesla is working on one. Mm-hmm. And I think the government confiscated all of his papers when he died, and mm-hmm. I think they developed it into one by the early 60s. And this whole thing about string theory and all this crap is just a dog and pony show.
You think so?
Yeah, I think they've had a unified field theory behind closed doors for a long time. They're trying to fool people into thinking that there is no fabric of space, there's no ether, and that the speed of light is inviolable and all that, because it precludes the existence of things like telepathy and any gravity.
Ah.
And so that really upset me when I found this out. They're even concealing the correct theory. Much less telling you anything about the technology. They even want to conceal the correct theory so that nobody even tries to go after the technology.
Why do you think?
Why do I think what?
That they don't want to go for the technology.
They want to go for the technology. They don't want the private
right,
sector.
Right, the private sector. That's why, yeah. Interesting. There's just so much. And with the telepathy, and you know, like they've had that programs for Ingo Swann's program from way back. And,
yeah.
They didn't want us to know about it. That's why I teach it, because I think it's really important and people need to learn how to use their sixth chakra and learn how their body really works, you know, and have a relationship with it. So. So we've been held down a lot.
I'd say so. I mean, I wonder why we have such a glacial rate of progress today compared to back in the 50s. And that's why, is because they're suppressing stuff. I mean, I found out, too, and it actually happened to me once, that any patent that they consider interesting, any of five or more government agencies can actually seize and freeze that patent for 5 years and not allow the inventor to use it or talk about it.
And they did that with you, right?
Yeah, they did that with my patent on putting any desired metal inside carbon nanotubes.
So they just stole it, basically, or?
Yeah, they stole it for 5 years.
Yeah.
I asked my employer what happened to that patent, and they blew me off, and I found out later it was because they were under a gag order from the government.
Wow. And so that's what happened. You get some amazing ideas, and then they don't let you have them, they don't let you use them, but then they'll take them and use them behind closed doors.
Yeah, that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm. And then they let it out when?
They're supposed to declassify stuff after 30 years, I believe, but they haven't been doing that.
Oh. Well, so there's some changes that are going to be happening, hopefully.
Well, I hope so. I mean, this anti-gravity technology would revolutionize the world if they let it out. Mm-hmm. I mean, all they've been allowing so far, it seems to me, are improvements in computer and communication technology. Anything to do with propulsion or energy is ruthlessly suppressed. Mm-hmm. Or medicine, for that matter. There's much better ways to cure things.
And right.
Every time they have it, they want expensive treatments for a lot of medical problems, not cures. Anytime they have a cheap cure for anything, it's ruthlessly suppressed, especially for cancer or any number of other things that are lucrative to the medical profession.
Right. Well, and we were talking about vitamin therapy, too.
Oh, yeah, I'm really into that. I'm an alternative health advocate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, now we're going to have a minute of silence. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, if you want to know specifics,
yeah,
for example, selenium, especially inorganic selenium, like sodium selenite, can cure many forms of cancer, cure and or prevent many forms of cancer. Uh-huh. There's a huge correlation, inverse correlation, between the amount of selenium in the local soil and the local cancer rate. So the more selenium in the soil, the less cancer people have in that region.
And what takes the selenium from the soil? Radiation?
The plants. If the crops have a lot of selenium in them, then the people eat those crops will have less cancer.
Right. And you're not a doctor. You're not prescribing. But you've
I'm not prescribing anything. I'm just stating a scientific fact here.
Yeah.
I have seen selenium cure skin cancer on 3 different occasions.
Wow. I'm taking it. That's what I take. Mm-hmm. A complex selenium, I think.
Yeah. Selenium complex.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Sherry Ladd, for posting that in Facebook. You rock, girl. Thank you so much. So she put up the Dr. Thomas's, what's his name, Thomas? Dr. Thomas Bearden's books.
Yeah.
Gravitobiology.
Gravitobiology. That was a good book.
Was that a good book? And tell us a little bit about it.
It is said that that these scalar waves have biological properties and can be used to alter DNA and either induce or cure any disease.
Wow, gravitobiology.
If true, I can see why they're keeping it secret. That's more powerful than they want. Back in the early days. Of this type of research back in the 1950s, some people were saying they actually had machines that would get rid of pests and fields with scalar waves.
Maybe we should have him on the show.
Yeah.
What do you think? Is he still alive?
I don't know if he's still alive. He's in bad shape last time I heard.
Oh.
He may be still alive, he may not.
Okay.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, and he has his other book, Energy from the Vacuum Concepts and Principles.
Yeah, he put out about 7 books, I think.
Wow. And you're working on a book now.
Yes, I'm working on a book.
I'm excited for you. It's a long time coming.
It's a, I've had a lot of problems lately with the pandemic and parents having strokes and stuff like that. But, I'm working on a book is a survival manual for Class 2 experiencers that will contain a lot of information about the aliens that I think people will find interesting.
Yeah, I think so, for sure. I've seen you hard at work in your research. Is there anything you want to do in the future that you're looking at that's interesting to you that you might want to research? I've got you into the Sasquatch.
Well, Sasquatch isn't my primary focus, but I do want to find out about genetic anomalies and experiencers and research the alien implants more and do more work on carbon nanotubes and nanotechnology.
And have your own lab.
I definitely want to have my own lab if the money ever comes available to start one.
I know, I would love that for you too. So if anyone's out there would like to help Steve put up a lab, and we could do all this testing that needs to be done for humanity, right?
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, and some assistants, maybe some lab assistants.
Yeah.
What would you need exactly?
A place of business and some instruments, maybe about $500,000 worth of instruments, ultraviolet lights, frequency analyzer, opto-isolated chamber to do RF work, and other stuff, TGA, electron microscopes, stuff like that. Trace element analysis instruments.
Yeah. And I was thinking, too, I remember I just thought of when you did the analysis on my wall, of the 4 fingers on my wall.
Right.
You had also, where you had actually cut out the wall, right? So you could keep it?
Well, when I found four-fingered handprints in the blue-green dye on my bedroom wall near where I slept at my old Fillmore house, and I actually did cut out that section of wall. Still have that section of wall. And when I was working on the Watcher series of DVDs with the people that were producing that, we went down to an electron microscope lab, and they tested those fingerprints, and there was no chlorine in them. There was no sodium chloride in that substance, and that means that it could not possibly have been human sweat or human bodily fluids.
Wow. So there's another proof.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So something touched that left behind a UV trace, had four fingers, and was not human.
Mm-hmm.
So that's highly suggestive that it might have been aliens.
Yeah. Well, if it doesn't fit any of their usual protocol, right, or parameters, or however, whatever you want to call that.
And it's highly unusual, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I just want to thank you so much. Oh, here she goes. Sherry Ladd says, high dose of vitamin C has been shown to be beneficial for those with cancer. Linus Pauling, for the record, I am not a doctor and I'm not diagnosing, just suggesting an interesting subject.
Yeah, that's true. Intravenous vitamin C can often cure a lot of cancers, and Linus Pauling knew that and advocated that therapy, and he was given a very hard time about it, even in spite of the fact that he was a Nobel laureate and really knew what he was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to discredit his findings by giving vitamin C to in inadequate doses to patients that already had chemotherapy, and it won't work on people that have had chemotherapy. Their immune system's already been destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And most of these vitamin and herb-based techniques work because they stimulate the immune system to fight the cancer.
Oh.
And if your immune system's already been damaged or destroyed, it's going to be a limited usefulness.
Oh.
So I'd recommend that people, if they have cancer, try the alternative therapies first. And then if it doesn't work, then try the more radical approaches, or what I consider more radical of the medical community. But that's just my opinion. I'm not a doctor, and whatever people, want to do in that regard, they should have the freedom to do so.
Yeah, I think so, too. Well, we're just about ready to do the countdown here in 10 minutes or so.
Okay.
Wow, it went by fast. Thanks, Sherry Ladd. Thank you so much for posting that for me and for Steve and I. I really appreciate it. Oh, and here's a
what's this one?
AIDS Biological Warfare Second Edition.
That's from Bearden too, yeah.
That's from Bearden too. Very cool.
And why don't we look up and see if Bearden's still alive?
Yeah, let's see if we can find him. Jerry, can you take a look and see if you can find Dr. Reardon for
Bearden.
Us. Oh, man. Bearden. Dr. Thomas Bearden for us. Let's see where he's at. Let's see if we can get him on the show. That would be awesome. That would be awesome. I do have some people coming on that you guys are going to just love. Happy birthdays. A lot of birthdays. Me and my daughter. All right. Well, this has been fun, Steve. My birthday, right?
Yeah, it's your birthday present.
You're my birthday present for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. And thanks to everyone for coming on and hanging out. Thanks, Sherry, so much for all your help today. And oh, here she says, yep, vitamin C. And I lost everyone else, so I'm not sure. Thanks for everyone who commented and who shared. And Holly, hi, Holly, you and Tony, and Pinky Lee, and everyone who checked in today. We really felt your love. I felt so much love today. I really have. All my kids called, and a lot of my friends called. And oh, and here's a special little note from Priscilla. Hi, Priscilla. Aww. I had such an amazing trip in Thailand. If anyone's listening and if you want to go to Thailand, I highly, highly recommend it. I went to the most amazingly beautiful, spectacular, magical temples, Buddhist temples. I went to the white temple, the blue temple, the black temple. It's just extraordinary, and the people are so sweet and so kind, and they're very intuitive drivers. There's like two streets. If you have two lanes of traffic, they actually create three lanes, and everyone kind of intuitively moves, and it's like a kind of like a snake moving. And there's like hundreds of scooters, and the food is fantastic, and the color and the beauty of the land. I got to go out more in the tropical part. It was just absolutely gorgeous. So I got I hadn't been on vacation for 3 weeks. I've never been 3 weeks anywhere on vacation, and my daughter took really good care of me, and I had just an amazing time. And so it's kind of like when you go on a spiritual quest, you know, and then you come back and you're all rejuvenated, and I feel young and good and happy, and don't you love that, right? Well, thanks, Barbara. I'll just have some of what you're having, okay? So, and I get to have Steve here come in and visit me on my birthday and be on the show today. Thank you, Steve, so much.
You're welcome. Did anybody look up and see if Bearden was still alive?
Oh, let's see if she did. Did you find it, Sherry? Oh, she says, I believe he passed in 2022.
Oh, wow. Only
a year ago. Yeah. It's just, yeah. Yeah. It has passed 2022. Oh, that's such a loss, right?
Yeah.
Darn.
I mean, from the impression I got from the books, I think he was highly familiar with the classified literature on this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He used to be involved in the Black Project community, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well.
And, well, you want to take questions in the time we have left, if any?
Yeah, if does anyone have any questions? Hi, Priscilla. Yeah, I'll talk to you after the show. But, Sherry, thank you. You've just been wonderful. So I don't think we have any other questions left. I could talk about my book. This is my book.
Talk about your book.
Dying for the Light. This is my book. It's on Amazon. And I have another book, Seized by Sekhmet, is up there, and another book on white light meditation. So support my work, buy my books, get a reading, support Steve and his work. And just by bringing your love tonight to the show, we really appreciate that. And I do have some new people I'm working on coming on the show. But this has been really fun to share it with you, Steve, and with everyone here today. And again, thank you for the outpouring of well wishes and birthday wishes. And it's just been really an extraordinary day for me. It's good to be back to Revolution Radio since I was gone for 3 weeks, and they were really sweet and kind to me to keep me on even though I was gone for 3 weeks. So thank you to Patrick, administrator here at Revolution Radio, and to Willow, and to Thomas, and to everyone who keeps Revolution Radio going. And thank you for all the support from everyone to keep the Cosmic Oracle Show on our 9th year. Who goes has a show for 9 years? You know,
I don't know. Maybe somebody like you, huh?
I guess I never thought I would do this in a million years for this long. So
yeah.
It really helps having you come on, Steve. So we'll have to have you on more often.
Oh, okay.
Did you have a good time?
Yeah, very good. Great to be here.
That's good. So we have just a few minutes left. I don't know. We're just, what else can we talk about? We have, there's no more questions, I think. Oh, let's see what someone said. Thank you for the wonderful evening. You're welcome, Sherry. Thank you so much, Sherry, for your support, your technical support today, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That really helped. So I didn't find a Bigfoot or Sasquatch in Thailand. I was really kind of hoping that could happen, but I think I was just needed a vacation, you know, where always taught to be so busy, and we're always trying to, for me, trying to achieve something or create something or manifest something. And I think I just really needed some downtime to just be quiet and see some beautiful architecture and art and nature and eat good food and listen to wonderful music. And I can only say one word, let's say, I'm going to just blow it probably though. Mm. It's thank you in Thai, and it's Kupkan Kai. That's really bad. Kupkan Kai. And that's thank you. And I probably just destroyed it. Kupkan Kai. But we had so much fun. And they would find that, I would be like the only American and the hundreds of people. And so they would come up to me and they go, where are you from? And I would say, California. And then they would go, oh, American, you're American. And I said, yeah, I'm American. And they want to have their picture taken with me. So it was kind of like I was like a, you know, a definitely an oddity.
Not that many Americans there, eh?
There weren't. Wow. But my daughter,
I'm surprised to hear that.
I know, but my daughter, there is quite a contingency of expats there, especially retirees from America there.
Yeah.
But where we were going to all the temples, there weren't very many Americans there. Mm. So, but they were funny. They thought I was funny. So, I don't know. Maybe I would get that no matter where I go, though, right? So, I'm not sure. But it was wonderful. And, so I'm out of things to say. So we'll just send energy, good energy, to Revolution Radio and keep them on the air for all these years, and to our Revolution Radio family, and to Esoterra, my school. You can check out my school if you want to learn more about how to turn on your own psychic abilities. I have a new class starting in September, the first week of September. So if you're interested, let me know. Or if you want a reading, you can contact me at esoterra.us. That's esoterra.us. And in the meantime, I mean, start talking to Bigfoot yourself or Sasquatch yourself. You can say, hey, I would like to have a relationship with you, or can we talk? You know, what can I do? And they can come to you in lots of different ways. They can come in a dream, or they can be in the trees. You know, they can. So let's talk about portals and Sasquatch, right? You have an opinion on that.
I didn't believe it at first myself, but apparently a lot of these groups of Sasquatch are involved with the aliens and work for the aliens, they apparently have access to a lot of the alien technologies and cloak themselves and use portals and maybe some of their abilities as well, and that's part of the reason that it's so hard to detect. Their first line of defense is their telepathy, and then if that fails, then they can cloak themselves and vanish through portals.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they've had instances where they have a line of Bigfoot footprints that just vanish.
Yeah.
Like they were picked up from the air or something. So maybe they went through a portal or picked up a tractor beam from a UFO or mm-hmm. something along those lines. But a lot of them are working with the aliens. The aliens use them apparently for heavy work. And I have reason to believe through people that have had more contact with Sasquatch than myself that they use them to bring in products from the forest that the aliens might want to use. So, tree branches and various types of rocks and things like that.
Like big boulders, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Hmm. And do you think it's far-fetched at all that they could be on a ship or drive a ship? You don't drive a ship, though, right? You
fly a ship,
yeah.
Well, right. Yes. I guess that fits to operate.
Operate a ship.
You're an operator. But, yeah, I think they could probably fly a ship. I mean, I don't know if they're super geniuses, but I think they're probably about as intelligent as an average person. Plus, they have the telepathy and maybe some other abilities as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think their primary task is to operate technology. I think their primary task is, like I say, to be in the forest and to do heavy work. But they're definitely working with the aliens, it appears.
Well, and if we look at how much our world is forest and how much it's ocean, we humans don't take a lot of room, really.
Well, they seem like they're trying to keep us in the cities where we can be controlled.
Yes.
But they've been trying to do that for several decades now, I'd say. Every piece of wilderness worth owning is owned by the government, or most of it is.
Mm-hmm.
There are really a few exceptions.
Well, I know that, who is the multimillionaire that has thousands and thousands of acres?
Ted Turner. Yeah.
And did a lot of...
He's a globalist.
Mm-hmm.
He did a lot of what?
Well, to help keep the land, you know, so that it was more in its purest form. It wasn't... so we could have buffalo or that sort of thing on the land that's more natural.
Yeah.
More natural habitat. Mm-hmm. So.
Good old Ted.
You're being nice, I can tell. Okay, well, we just have 1 minute left. So,
Maybe he's more like Ted Kaczynski than anything.
Maybe. Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning in on my birthday. It's my birthday. We're going to go and celebrate now some more. You've been celebrating all day. I have.
Yeah, it's been nice. Yeah.
It's been fun, huh? Yeah,
it's been fun.
So we'll hopefully see you on again soon.
Yes, of course.
Okay. All right. Well, good night, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to the Cosmic Oracle Show. This is your host, Barbara Jean Lindsay, with our guest, Stephen Colburn. And we'll see you next Friday at 5 o'clock L.A. time and 8 o'clock Eastern. And go out and do something you haven't done before. Get outside. Hug a tree.
And I'll probably see you next month.
Next month. Yeah, Steve's going to try and come on once a month with us. That'll be awesome. All right. Good night, everybody. Thank you. Much love to everybody.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Feel that things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the day, from this day to that, for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!